Impact Leaders, the podcast on impact leaders, influencers, and institutions supporting the companies that are solving the world's biggest challenges. And this is your host, JP Dahlman. Impact Leaders is brought to you by Fast Forward 2030 and Real Changers. Visit fastforward2030.com to learn how to include the global goals into your business models, and realchangers.com to find talent and careers with impact.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Impact Leaders. In today's episode of Impact Leaders, we have Jean de Fougereau. Welcome to our episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, or double hosting, because we are actually in what is called Wyra office building near Piccadilly, and we are kind of face-to-face, which is always very nice. I always try to talk to Jean, but he's always super busy. So trying to get him to talk and to actually have him for the podcast, it feels very special.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
As a way of a quick intro, Jean is the founder and managing partner of Ascension Ventures and also partner at Fair by Design, which is an actual impact investing fund. I can talk a lot about what I can see that you have done in the past, but I can see that you have evolved from being into media, having your own companies, and then founder of a couple of companies, and then founder of Ascension Ventures in 2013, and then more recently Fair by Design in the end of 2017. But can you tell us more about who is Jean de Fougereau?
Right. So I'm originally Canadian, and I've moved to London in 1997, having done an MBA at INSEAD in Fontainebleau in 96. So I've been in London for, 23, 24 years now. I started off at MTV, which is the big media company, which used to be a big brand. Not sure it's so big anymore. And then after that, I ran a tech startup for 10 years that I sold in 2008 and left in 2010. So I kind of went through a 10-year journey as an entrepreneur with the highs and lows that come with that. And in 2013, set up Ascension to invest in the kind of next generation of entrepreneurs. So we're kind of an early stage venture capital company investing in the kind of the beginning of another company's journey. So we're kind of a seed investor, and we've invested in about 100 companies in the last 6 years, of which 16 have come out of the Wyra incubator, which we're sitting today. And 18 months ago, we launched the Fair by Design Fund, which is a social impact fund focused on reducing poverty in the UK.
Perfect. And maybe that's the right point to ask you. So what is impact investing to you, Jean?
So impact investing is investing in a business that their success makes the world a better place. And it can largely be broken down into two threads. One would be sustainable and making the planet better. It could be environmental impact investing. And the other one is more societal. How do we make society better? Which could be, reducing poverty, increasing education. So those are the two elements of impact investing. We have invested in both. And so we have a kind of more generic tech funds that invest in scalable tech businesses. And quite a few of those have an impact angle, particularly around education or reducing food waste or helping blind people to see. So those are other investments we've done. But I think what we're mainly talking about today is our Fair by Design Fund. And that is a fund that's looking at reducing something that's quite unfair inequality, where low-income people pay more than people that are better off. And that's called the poverty premium. So this fund is specifically designed to back new startups or social enterprises that are trying to make markets fairer by not overcharging low-income households.
Yes. And this is very interesting, because basically what I hear is that you have developed from a businessman into an investor, So business mind entrepreneur, you have, you know, kind of created and sold your own companies. Then you went into investing, and then you have had developed into this, you know, kind of sustainable slash impact investor and partner, right? And I will ask you a little bit about how, you know, you went through the process, which is always interesting to know, you know, how individuals go through that. But you mentioned a poverty premium, which is kind of the strategy in a way for Fair by Design. How did this come about, or what triggered? And it would be loved, and I should have said at the beginning, I thought that this podcast is going to be quite educational, because I think that most people, definitely outside of the UK, think that everyone in the UK, you know, has money or is rich in one way or another. And in many ways, you know, we are, I would say, compared to other countries. But even within the UK, within the country, you know, I think people don't realize how many, you know, people are struggling and living in poverty. And there are consequences to that. And I, you know, in the corridors, many times we have spoke with you and you have told me, but there are reports that actually highlight what that means.
Yes.
Can you educate us, please, yes, a little bit more?
Sorry. To kind of unpick the poverty premium. So the poverty premium exists around the world. I'm very familiar with the UK statistics. It exists in the US and the rest of Europe, and indeed in many parts, well, everywhere in the world. So the poverty premium in the UK is 20% of households pay on average £490 more a year than other people. So that's one in five households pay a premium. So this is not their relative wealth compared to somebody who's better off. This is they're paying more for the same goods and services as other people. And those poverty premiums kind of live in seven different areas. So the biggest one is energy. So out of the £490 they pay a year, half of that is roughly they're paying more in energy than other people. And that's mainly because they're on pay-as-you-go meters rather than other meters. So they're kind of paying more. So we're trying to invest in energy businesses, and we've invested in three to date that are very focused on helping low-income households reduce their energy bills. So energy's the biggest one. Probably the most painful one for many is credit. So if you are poor or from a low-income household, you might have a thin credit file. So you may not be able to open a bank account. You also may not be able to get a credit card. So often you won't have a lot of savings. So you might need to borrow money. I don't know. Your washing machine may break down and you need to carry on washing your children's clothes, but you don't have a credit card to buy one. So you'd have to borrow some money, and potentially through a payday lender where the interest rates could go up to 1,000%. So,
and many people don't know about payday lending, but, you know, it has been an issue and on the news quite a lot, you know, over the last years. But yes.
Yeah, so payday lending might be, it's a company that might be able to give you a very quick loan, even though you don't have a high credit rating, and they might only give you a £50, £100, £200 loan. But then suddenly the interest starts to accumulate and you get stuck in a debt spiral, which has all sorts of negative consequences in terms of mental health, stress, and you can't get out of that once you're kind of in it. So again, the poverty premium is around unfair credit, energy, also food, for example. So food, often if you live in a poor neighborhood, that you don't have a big food mall like a Sainsbury's in your neighborhood. So you're forced to shop at a local store, and in those shops, goods and services tend to be 10-15% more expensive than if you were to go to a larger supermarket. So if you're buying all of your bread and milk there on a daily basis over a whole year, you start to pay more just because there's no grocery stores close by.
It's like a knock-on effect, right? And then people don't have transportation, so they don't have money for transportation. They cannot get anywhere else.
And then insurance. So if I live in a poor neighborhood, my car insurance is more expensive by 10-15%. Nothing to do with me as a driver, nothing to do with what type of car I have. I just live in a poor neighborhood. So the insurance companies think that I'm more likely to get broken into.
Higher risk, yeah.
And therefore my insurance goes up. So that poverty premium in the UK is worth about £3.8 billion. So the people that can least afford it are paying more than people that can afford it more. So the fund is all about, can we find entrepreneurs, social enterprises, and new business models that are rethinking how these markets work, and possibly using leveraging technology, or, you know, to offer products and services to this demographic that will help smooth that premium. And our objective in the next 10 years is to eradicate that in the UK. Now, when I talk about the UK, all of the businesses we've invested in, you know, have global ambitions. So just because they're starting in the UK doesn't mean they can't expand. And indeed, some of them are expanding into Europe and the US. So we're trying to solve a global problem, but starting in the UK.
Yes. And I'll ask you a little bit about that, because I know a couple of the names, which I think would be nice to mention them at least. And also for context, so this is 24, there is a Roundtree, the Joseph Roundtree Foundation research shows that 21% of the UK's population lives in low-income households. So that's like, you know, a fifth, right? Yeah. So that's not a small number.
Yes. So one of your questions was, where did the idea come from?
Yes.
So the idea actually came from the Joseph Roundtree Foundation. So that's a foundation that's been around for over 100 years, and their mission is to reduce poverty in the UK. And there's an individual there called Daniel Satar who used to work there, and he approached Big Society Capital, which is a big kind of fund of funds for impact in the UK, and said, you know, I don't think we can eradicate poverty in the UK or around the world, because that's obviously a nice thing to do, but quite ambitious. But he highlighted the fact that there's this poverty premium and believed that possibly new entrepreneurs and new markets and new ways of thinking could try and reduce that. So they came up with the idea of creating a venture capital fund that could invest in these entrepreneurs to try and bring to market new solutions to the poverty premium. So sadly, it wasn't my idea, but when I heard about it, we came forward and worked with them to launch this fund. And the fund, it's important to say that the fund is made up, or the Fair by Design program is made up of two elements, which I think is relatively unique in the impact space. So we're the Fair by Design fund, which is investing in businesses, but there's also the Fair by Design campaign, which we work hand in hand with. And the campaign is also shares our mission, because we work together to eradicate the poverty premium by 2028. But they're much more focused on highlighting these inequalities to regulators, but also to big business, and also to try and highlight the poverty premium to consumers and the public at large, so that everybody kind of agrees that we can work together to eradicate this.
Fantastic. But again, you know, you said sadly, you know, but that's the magic of this, right? The collaboration and working together. So it's really nice that kind of Ascension, you know, came on board. And effectively, did you put some money from Ascension into...
We put some money into the
fund. Into the fund, as a kind of a seed investor to the fund, basically. And then I read on the website, which, by the way, is fairbydesignfund.com, if people want to visit it, that you also, the fund is also managed by Finance Birmingham together with you. Is that...?
Yes. So historically, we co-invested on a number of deals with Finance Birmingham, which is part of Birmingham City Council. And we managed a local Birmingham fund, a £6 million fund for Birmingham City Council. So that's how we got to know Finance Birmingham. And when we looked at this problem of the poverty premium, the first thought was to get Finance Birmingham and the council involved, because Birmingham also has, you know, a lot of poverty, and they're kind of passionate about private-public sector alliances to try and solve some of society's biggest problems. So they came on board, as did WIRA. So in our first year of this program, we launched an accelerator with WIRA in Oldham, which was all around fighting the poverty premium and financial inclusion. So for the first year, we were up in Oldham quite a bit, which is one of the poorest towns in the UK, just north of Manchester. So we've been spending some time there. And last week, we were in Birmingham as well, meeting with local government officials to try and bring some of these solutions to the Midlands.
Interesting. I'm sorry to share this for Birmingham, but I always remember going to Birmingham, arriving at the train station one night, and it's beautiful with all the investment. You know, you have these pedestrian streets, you know, and everything, but I never seen so many people sleeping rough, you know, as I saw in almost every shop as I was walking towards the hotel, which is, it's sad. And before I forget, I wanted to also do a big shout out to Telefonica, because we talked about WIRA a couple of times now, but Telefonica, so WIRA is the accelerator of Telefonica. So I always want to give credit to them and to Gary Stewart, yeah, who is a great man.
Well, so Gary was the one that that was involved in getting the Fair by Design Fund and the accelerator off the ground, Gary Stewart from Wyra and Telefonica. So we had a partnership.
I mentioned that, great.
Yeah, so we had it was Wyra, it was Telefonica, it was Birmingham City Council, Finance Birmingham, Ascension. So we've come together to make this possible.
Fantastic. And then just for reference, so how big is the fund right now?
It's a £10 million fund, and we've invested £2.5 million into 9 companies to date. So mainly around energy savings, fair credit. And then it's important to note as well that the poverty underlying all of this is the problem of digital exclusion. So a lot of the poverty premium comes down to the fact that a lot of these low-income households are digitally excluded. So they're not shopping online, they're not price comparing, they're not switching energy providers. So one of the investment areas that we focus on is how to improve financial inclusion.
Yeah, of course. And then for my own benefit, so basically, because if you don't have credit, then even if you have a phone, which they may have, you know, a cheap smartphone, if you don't have Apple Pay, if you have credit cards, you don't have Apple Pay, and if you don't have credit cards, you cannot buy anything online, because if you're only buying cash or prepaid, it's very, very hard, right? And so it's just a knock-on effect that it just keeps you in the vicious cycle of this poverty premium. So if I just, again, I wanted to give a little bit of airspace, if that's okay, to Ascension Ventures as well. You know, so you back entrepreneurs with big visions by providing capital, access to your network and expert mentors. That's ascensionventures.com. That's the website. And it's interesting because you kind of focus on technology, right? That was kind of, you didn't have a specific area aside from technology when you started.
When we started, we started in technology. I would say we started more in the digital media end of technology because my background was music, TV, games. So a lot of our investments are in online video, music. Also done quite a bit in publishing, ad tech. But I would say now that we've done about 100 businesses, we're starting to get into deeper tech, AI and blockchain and other areas. But our roots are digital media. But we've also got a lot of impact investments because we're naturally attracted to impact investing because, you know, we want to make the world a better place if we can, in the little bit that we can.
And it's interesting because as well, I'm not going to go through your board of advisors and the rest in both of the companies, right? But I can see that when I look at them, you have quite a few actually impact investors as well involved in your board advising. It's always, I always think if I were, you know, Jean, you know, 10 years ago, but I'm there today, you know, what recommendation would you give somebody that actually wants to set up a fund or an impact fund like Fair by Design?
Well, I'd say, I mean, setting up a fund is difficult. And the key thing that you need is a track record. And I would say when I set up the fund, you know, I had been a successful entrepreneur and built a business, but it's quite difficult on your own when you set up if you don't have a track record of investing to raise money. So it's not as easy as it sounds and it takes time. But I've enjoyed being an investor because I love working with the next generation of entrepreneurs to help them build their businesses. So I have no regrets. But it's important, you know, my background before I moved to Europe, I was an economist living in New York, working in the nonprofit at a think tank. So I actually started in the impact space when I was in my 20s. So I've always had an affinity towards that. So almost coming back as an investor now and investing in impact businesses is where I started my life as an economist, helping restructure economies. And so that's always been my passion.
Yeah, full circle, eh? Coming full circle to your purpose. Maybe what I would add to that is that I always think, you know, in collaboration, you know, I always talk about partnering and I realize, you know, how important it is and how much easier it can make it for you. So perhaps you have funds, but then there are so many other people trying to do other things, perhaps with a track record, but not with the seed investment, right? So perhaps partnering with the people with the track record or like trying to find out what other initiatives are out there and try to support them, that could be a first step. For an investor interested in getting into impact investing?
Yeah, or if you're interested in impact investing, you could start an impact startup and start there. And I always think start building a business first and then learn from that. And then later in life, you can start impact investing.
And that's a very good point to actually go to the next point and question, which is, you know, about your, let's say, investees or investment companies where you invest already. So I picked up again from your website, you have, and you mentioned as well, so you have like energy, finance, insurance, and you mentioned geo-based as well as the different areas. Any specific, you know, companies that you may want to highlight or share? I'm sure you don't have a favorite one, but, you know, I know a couple of them.
Well, I mean, I think it would be good to highlight one from the, we've got three energy businesses. We've got Emergent, Minibems, and Switchy. And Switchy was the first deal that we did. So it's not my favorite, but it was the first one we did. It also came out of Wyra, which is the offices we're sitting in today. And Switchy was interesting because it's the smart thermostat developed for social housing. So they do deals with housing associations to put the thermostat in the apartments that these housing associations manage. And then that's a smart thermostat that allows the social housing to communicate with the resident in terms of setting up appointments, when you're going to be home. So there's a good communication channel, which helps reduce the cost of managing the housing stock, because if they have call-ins, they can make sure they schedule that through the smart meter. So that's kind of interesting for the housing association. But where the cost saving comes in for the resident is the thermostat starts to understand your comings and goings. So it starts to understand at what time you leave your apartment, what time you come home. So it can automatically switch off the heating, you know, 10 minutes after it knows that you've left, because it's got sensors that starts to build up a profile of when you go to work, for example. So then it can start managing when it turns on and turns off your thermostat. Obviously, if you're at home that day because you're sick, or you didn't go to the office, you can override the thermostat and turn the heating back on. But it automatically starts to reduce your heating bills with no intervention, no human intervention required. So that can save up to £200 a year for the tenant. So that's an example of reducing the energy costs.
Yeah, and that's much better than Hive. Not to compete here, but, you know, because that people may recognize that brand, but that doesn't have actually an automated way of doing it. You still have to do it manually, which is interesting.
So that switch. And then I would say on the access to fair credit, WageStream is an interesting example. So WageStream, we invested in a year ago, and that is allowing employees to stream their income. So in the UK and elsewhere, you get paid on a 2-week or usually a 4-week pay cycle. So you may have worked 2 weeks. So you've accrued some wages because you've worked for 2 weeks, but you're only going to get paid at the end of the month. And if an unforeseen bill comes in or something that you have to pay and you don't have savings, under a normal scenario, you might get pushed into a payday lender and start getting into this debt spiral that we talked about. But if your employer has introduced WageStream, then for a £1 fee, you can basically take out 70% of your accrued wages in real time today. So it has a number of benefits. It allows you to not take out and be reliant on credit, but it also leads to a slight change in behavior where there's a much closer link between work and reward. So a lot of the employers that have introduced WageStream find that workers are more willing to do overtime because they might work overtime, but then they can take out their wages that night when they get home, and there's a real benefit to them working. And that just leads to more retention and more wellness with the employees. So that's kind of an example of one. And then I would say another interesting...
I was going to say, just I happen to know Peter Briffett, who is, you know, the founder, and just interesting if people want to know about that company, because it has amazing backers as well, including yourselves, right? And it's a wonderful concept. And they're trying to, what was the phrase that he uses all the time?
It's income, like, streaming.
No, I know, not kill the payday industry, something like that. Right?
Yeah, they're there to kill the payday loan market.
And I just take advantage, especially if you're an entrepreneur or want to set up one of these companies. So Peter is interviewed by our sister podcast, Impact Hustlers, which is hosted by Michael Schaffrath. So I never talk about that, but I thought it would be relevant to mention it now. The same with Switchy, coincidentally. And it's interesting because you realize that the ecosystem is kind of small. You know, kind of everyone starts to know each other because there are not as many companies or maybe as many funds.
Or we're choosing the best companies.
Oh, exactly. I like that.
And then I think the other one, which actually came out of Wyra as well, is called Incuto. So Incuto is helping the credit unions compete with the payday lenders by providing them an infrastructure that modernizes credit unions. So one of the reasons people take money out with payday lenders is not because they want to have massive interest rates. It's because the user interface is very slick and the decision-making is very quick. And the credit unions, which have regulated and fair interest rates, were very kind of laborious and 20th century. So it took days to get a loan approved, and the user journey through the technology was cumbersome and not intuitive. So what Incuto's built is an infrastructure that the credit unions can plug into, and they can give loans faster than the payday lenders with a very slick user journey. So it's allowing them to compete with the payday lenders at much fairer interest rates.
Fantastic. So all of this is very interesting because in a way you are knowingly or unknowingly impacting the SDGs, right? So let's say number one, a global goal, no poverty. So you said at one point, so you're not trying to stop no poverty, but have no poverty, but at least you're trying to reduce this, you know, unfairness. But do you measure your impact or the impact of the companies in some way? Or do you use any methodologies?
Yes. So there was a report done by Bristol University 2 years ago. This is where this average 20% of the UK population paying on average £490 a year. So our target is to get that £490 down to zero. So for every company that we invest in, we look at how many users that are they touching and what are the cost savings for those users. And so I think it's early days because we've only started investing about 18 months ago. So, and a lot of these companies, we invest quite early. So they're still scaling and they're still getting more users. But yes, our objective is to get that £490 down to zero.
Brilliant. And that's quite interesting because it's very simple, very much to the point, right? It should be, inverted commas, easier to try to...
It's simple, but some of the companies we're investing in, for example, the ones that are doing digital inclusion, is more difficult to exactly track that. I think with the energy companies, it's easier to see how much energy you've saved in a year, and that comes off the poverty premium. But for digital inclusion, it's more difficult to see the impact of that.
Okay. And then if you look into the future now, so you mentioned you have about 10 million, you haven't invested all over it yet, but what is the vision and what are the kind of the next stages for Fair by Design?
Well, the vision is to find another, so we've invested in 9 companies. We want to find another 15 to 18 companies to invest in over the next 2 years. So we're doing about 8 or 9 investments a year and then scale this portfolio so that it has maximum impact and then launch Fair by Design Fund 2 after that to start it, to keep going and to keep having impact on reducing the poverty premium.
Okay. When are you envisaging that to happen?
I would say we'd raise Fund 2 in 2021.
Okay.
So we have time.
So if anyone is interested in this period, they can come and talk to you and learn a bit more so that they start the relationship if they're investors. In terms of the investors, anyone in particular that you look for? Is it individuals or is these organizations like councils? Or
I mean, they need to be professional investors that are looking at impact funds and that want to make a difference. So, yeah.
Then maybe for the benefit of the companies, the impact companies, as we call it, and I think we talked about in the past, and actually Switchy and some of the other guys are members of Impact Founders, which is our community of impact entrepreneurs. So for their benefit, normally any tips or anything particular that you'd like to tell them if they want to come and talk to you?
Well, I think
for funding.
It's important to stress that we're very interested in impact. So the businesses that we invest in, it does not have to be equity investments. It can also be social enterprises. So we can also give loans to scalable social enterprises, so charities, kicks. So it doesn't have to be equity investing. We're happy to look at loans. The areas that we haven't found any investments in our portfolio that are around food. So reducing food poverty is a big area that we're looking for. Insurance is another area where poverty premium lurks. So we haven't invested in an insurance business yet. So those are the kind of two areas that we haven't. And then the final one we haven't invested in is transport. So there is a poverty premium around transport, particularly outside of major cities. in more isolated areas, cost of transport can be higher, and the lack of transport can lead to this kind of shopping locally without going to supermarkets, etc., and paying more for your food. So transport is another one. So we've got three areas: food poverty, transport, and insurance, that we still haven't found businesses in those areas to invest in.
And transport, I always think about that. When you think about the productivity graph, you know, when you add a bus or anything that helps you move faster, a car, let alone a car, it's unbelievable how much, you know, efficient your life becomes, right? But again, people normally take it for granted. Thank you very much for all of that. And as we're coming to the end of the episode, I didn't want to go without asking you a little bit more about you, you know, just to understand, you know, again, and I struggle to pronounce your name a little bit, but it's Jean de Fougereau. So what is it that drives you? What is it that, you know, these days and took you to do everything that you do?
Well, as I said, I started my life, you know, I did a master's degree at Columbia University in international relations, public policy. So I was always interested in the nonprofit think tank space. So I would say, in terms of the Fair by Design Fund, I feel it's a kind of culmination of my early first job as an economist. I think also having been an entrepreneur for 10 years and scaled and sold a business helps me, you know, with my decision making on what companies we back, but also help support those businesses. And then having invested in a number of businesses, you know, helps. So I just think everything I've done since my first job has kind of led me to this Fair by Design Fund. And I mean, that is possibly going to be, you know, the proudest thing that I do, if we can bring down these costs and have a big impact on reducing poverty in the UK and elsewhere.
Is there any other kind of individual person that inspired you? Or I always ask about a book or an event, you know, aside from Daniel, which, you know, kind of came up with the idea.
Well, I mean, what's kind of inspiring us now, and a lot of this is based on the Fair by Design Fund, is how technology is at a crossroads right now. And on the one hand, it is, you know, AI and automating jobs. And on the other hand, we think that technology can be leveraged for the benefit of society. So we are working on another fund as well called the Learn Fund, which is around the future of work. And this is where it's going to be investing in technology businesses that are allowing people to be upskilled, reskilled, educated, and also backing businesses that are creating new ways of working. So that's our next project as well that we find very interesting.
Brilliant. Education and technology all at once. And you have met a lot of people, you know, during your career, and now obviously you are meeting a lot of very inspirational young and also young leaders that are coming up with impact companies. But are there any characteristics or any kind of personalities or advice that you would give to these kind of young leaders?
Well, the advice that I would give is there's an opportunity now to cut your own path much more than there ever was. So that when I was growing up, there was a lot of pressure to, you know, get a career and go down this route and go down that route. I think now, with this kind of explosion of entrepreneurship, I would just follow your dreams. And if you have an idea, problem you want to solve, either find somebody else to work with to solve it for you, even if that's joining another startup that shares your vision, learn from that. And then in a couple of years, you could, you know, start your own thing. So I would say, try and do something, you know, that you're really passionate about, rather than just trying to find a job.
On that note, before we go, I thought you did mention about that you're picking the best companies, right? So anything in particular that you think is making, you know, Ascension and Fair by Design and the new fund is more special in terms of, you know, how you're going about deciding either your processes or your kind of variables to decide?
Well, we invest at a seed stage. And at the seed stage, when you're investing, there's not a lot of data to go on in terms of the company's performance, because often it's an idea with some kind of MVP, minimal viable product. So a lot of...
Sometimes with no revenue.
Yeah.
Many times.
Usually with no revenue. So you're going very early. So I believe that kind of my background of having run a tech business, as well as I've created a whole infrastructure of venture partners, mentors that have very deep sector knowledge across a wide gamut. So for example, Cal Atwal was the managing director of Compare the Market. And she's been working very closely as we're looking at some of these price comparison sites and switching sites. She's been working with us before we invest, helping us with due diligence, and having operated Compare the Market for a decade, she's very well placed to get a sense for what will work and what won't work. So we're always surrounding ourselves by people that have got operational experience to help us with our decisions rather than financial analysis, because financial analysis, when you're doing seed stages, are only what might happen in the future. And that's anybody, you know, it's difficult to predict what will happen in the future, but somebody who's kind of built a business in that area can have a kind of intuitive feel for what will work and what won't work, what will come to market. So I think it's pretty obvious to say, but we have people with deep operational experience, sector experience, looking at our businesses, helping us make the decisions.
Fantastic. Any last call to action for the listeners?
Well, we're keen to eradicate the poverty premium by 2028. We've got a program called the Fair by Design Roadshow, which is where we are going to local cities and towns across the country. So we started in Oldham. We were just in Birmingham last week. And this is where we're convening local decision makers. So these could be people that run credit unions, housing associations, local government, local press. And we bring the Fair by Design Roadshow to them. It doesn't cost any money. And there's usually about 100 of us in the room. And we kind of try and work out how we're going to collaborate locally to bring down cost for low-income households. So we were in Oldham, which is close to Manchester. We were in Birmingham. Our next stop is Glasgow. Then we want to go to Bristol. But we want to do about 3 or 4 of these a year. So anybody locally that wants the Fair by Design Roadshow to come to them, please get in touch.
Yeah. And the best way to get in touch or to maybe sign up so that they get alerts about this roadshow?
They could just email jean@ascensionventures.com.
That's it, really. Thank you so much. Thank you for the time and for all the, you know, insight and knowledge that you share with us today. Really appreciate everything that you're doing, John. So it is bye for now, and God bless you all. And until our next episode of Impact Leaders, do please remember to check our sponsors' websites for upcoming events and other information. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
This was Impact Leaders. Impact Leaders is brought to you by Fast Forward 2030 and Real Changers. Visit fastforward2030.com to learn how to include the global goals into your business models, and realchangers.com to find talent and careers with impact.